This is YouTube.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes, and we are in the throwback Thursday of our Pride Month. And this one is a fun one. Back in 1995. Wow, 95. That's crazy. Wow.
Yes. So what was happening when this movie came out?
All right. 95. So what we were watching in 95, going from 5 to 1, is, of course, Monday Night Football, number 5. Caroline in the City was number 4. Who was in it?
Caroline in the City. Isn't that... what's her name from Back to the Future?
Oh, Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she was in that series. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, number 3, of course, is Friends. 2, Seinfeld. 1, ER. And 95. Actually, I thought this came out in 96. The song was You Are Not Alone, Michael Jackson. Now, this was when Mike was kicking it, well, was married to the Elvis' daughter, right? Around this time?
Priscilla Presley.
Priscilla, yeah. And this is, I remember this because she was in the video with him. Yeah, in the You Are Not Alone. I remember that. Yeah. And then September 8th, the moviegoers flocked to this movie that we are about to review called To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Yeah, and it's loosely based off of an Australian movie called Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Mm-hmm. In that basically some drag performers travel across country to perform or compete at a drag queen competition.
Yes. And and To Wong Fu, this movie have a very interesting trio of actors that honestly, when I saw the trailer for this before the movie came out, I thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit. I was like, dawg, like this can't be real. Like Mr. Roadhouse, no. Like Simon Phoenix from Demolition Man, no. Like, no. But I was like, this is an actual movie.
And Wesley Snipes from New Jack City. I mean, come on.
I swear, I thought it was an SNL skit. I'm like, this can't be real. Like, this isn't real. This isn't a movie that's coming out. No. What? It was. And it is. Now, so Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, sorry, the late great Patrick Swayze, may he rest in peace, and John Leguizamo. that's our trio in this movie.
Yes. So the movie, it is about 3 drag queens that travel cross country until their car breaks down, leaving them stranded in a small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has a fun cameo of one of our actors from last week's in the Birdcage. Robin Williams actually plays the owner of a drag queen bar in New York instead of Miami, which I thought was kind of funny.
Hey, that's funny. Yeah, his name was John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah, and so it was supposed to be, I forget the name of it. It was a drag bar that closed in 93, the China Bowl.
Okay.
So that's where they were supposed to be, but it sort of reminded me of Lucky Chang's, which is another big restaurant in New York where you can go see drag shows. There are drag shows that are more everyday friendly versus like the underground drag shows that are a little bit more for the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what was really Actually, I'm watching it again. What was really interesting, and I never thought of this. It didn't cross my mind. So in the beginning, after the beginning, static credits, we have Patrick Swayze coming out of the shower, like he's kind of, wiping his hair off and stuff. He's toweling himself. We see Patrick Swayze, nice, the nice cut Patrick Swayze, they're like, oh, there, snap. Like he just came out of a Roadhouse movie because he's still cut. That's the last time we see him as a man throughout the whole movie. After that, we don't see him as a man anymore. He's in drag throughout the whole movie. Everyone else too, Wesley, all of them. And I thought,
The intro of the movie is very similar, or reminded me of the beginning of Pretty Woman, where it's all these close ups of her getting ready to go out and do her job. Where the beginning of this movie, you watch the three main characters, Wesley Snipes, and Patrick Swayze, all transforming from the person that they were born to the person that they want to present society with. So going through that transformation of becoming their true selves.
Yeah. And I thought that was very unique. Because, having, three stars like this, I can almost hear, the studio was like, okay, but this is Wesley Snipes. Above all, it's Wesley Snipes and Patrick Swayze. It got to be some scenes where they're not in drag, so we can see the actors that we cast, right?
Right. Yeah. We're not paying all this money to hide who they are.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that's what I have to commend this movie a lot. I mean, through 95% of the movie, they are drag. They're going across the country in drag. They have a dramatic moments in drag. There are their drag personas throughout the whole movie. And I thought that was very bold, especially for a director. So
White Men Can't Jump come out before or after this movie?
Before, 92, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because there is a scene in this movie where the girls, as they're driving cross country, they have to find a hotel for the night, and they find a hotel where it's the female basketball players are staying there, so they do a pickup game in the morning, and Wesley Snipes is dunking on everyone. I was like, aw, he got to use what he learned in White Men Can't Jump.
Exactly. You're not going to let those skills go to waste. Yeah. So pretty much, Jill said, this the first half springboards into the main story, which is just an excuse for our three main characters to go on this crazy cross-country road trip. It's a mesh of whatever road trip movie you can think of, all the elements is in here. It's definitely a trope heavy movie. I mean, if you're looking for originality, it's not in this movie, but play on the tropes to try to subvert some things, to try to say something, and
Yeah, I mean, you have them being pulled over at night by a shady cop who's racist and sexist and thinks that he's identified three women that he can take advantage of, and ends up getting this shit getting decked because he's being inappropriate. Then you have the small town that is curious and naive all at the same time, and within the small town you have the abusive husband, mm-hmm. you have the good boy, you have the bullies, you have the sweet teenage girl that has a crush on the good boy but too shy to say anything, mm-hmm. the town has like the one token black guy who runs the diner.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's tropes all around in this movie, you know. I think you forgive it because the leads play it with such earnestness and of course the touchy feely moments, you know, oh, Carl, you know it's coming, but you know they make it work somehow.
Yeah. So like the touchy feely moments are, so I mean, beyond them driving cross country, you also have Wesley Snipes, whose character is named Noxzema, and Patrick's character, whose name is Vida, trying to help John's character, Chi-Chi, become a true drag queen, in that she's just new to being in drag, but she thinks she's all that. And Noxzema and Vida are like, we need to, you're not there yet. You're just a boy in a dress. And so part of the road trip is educating Chi-Chi to become her full drag queen. And when they get stranded in this small town, it's also an opportunity for them to play dress up with all the ladies who've lost their vigor in town.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're awakening the townspeople with fabulousness. And they're, you know, in their way, because they're going to, their destination is Los Angeles, for I think like the regionals or like the big competition, right? The big drag competition.
It's the ultimate drag queen competition.
Right. Oh, and we have to reel it back a little bit. Like Jenna said, cameo, as far as cameos go, we have RuPaul. She was the MC of the opening drag show.
Right, because she was the previous year's winner.
Right. Of course. It's RuPaul.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those that remember the 90s, her big hit song, I think, came out in 92.
Oh, wow, 92. Oh, my goodness.
This movie was just a couple of years after that. So yeah. She was still, I mean, before drag queen race or TV show, RuPaul did have a music career.
Oh man, we should post the her first song video up though.
Okay. Yeah. I can do that.
Sashay Shante. Well, that was a good song. I mean, that's the thing, like her productions, like, was like very like that upbeat kind of clubhouse that 90s house that you just bounce around to. I mean, she had a good like house production behind her, like far as her music.
The name of the song was Supermodel.
You better work. I remember that song. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, and Vida, right? Patrick's, yep. Yeah. And you know, there's like moments of like realization of kind of like the reality that they're in, like from the cops to like them driving to where Vida lived and seeing like the where she grew up, and ultimately having this moment where she sees her mom come out. They notice one another, and the mother just closed the door. Yeah. And we see kind of how heartbroken like Vida is, like still not accepted, still not welcome, home, so to speak. And yeah, you know, it had moments like that in the movie. You know, it's like, it's not all, fun and, parties and music. You know, there's the reality of people that you love that's not going to, love you back because you live in, you live in your truth, and yeah. So, I mean, it's Yeah, that too.
Yeah. A couple people that auditioned for Patrick's role were Gary Oldman. He was actually offered the position, but he turned it down because he didn't want to go, like, wear a lot of makeup after doing that for Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Viggo Mortensen, the guy from Lord of the Rings, he auditioned for Vita.
Oh, interesting. Okay. 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 Who else? Yeah. Who else was in the 90s? Who was our 90s people?
Well, a few other people that auditioned, but I'm not sure for what roles, were Matt Dillon, Robert Downey Jr.,
yes. Rob Lowe,
and James Spader.
Oh.
I feel like Robert Downey Jr. and Rob Lowe would have been really beautiful women.
Yeah, they would have fit into it nicely.
And Mel Gibson briefly flirted with the idea.
Yeah, nah, that wouldn't have worked.
No.
Not even in the 90s, like, I don't know, he was too machismo to... Well, I'll take that back, because
Patrick Swayze is way more machismo than Mel Gibson in my head.
Yeah, like I said, I take that back. All right. Actually, James Spader would have been an interesting dark horse.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Watching this now, after, like, watching so many... Instagram or TikTok videos of people doing makeup and doing their contouring. Mm-hmm. Today's makeup is so influenced by drag queen makeup. It's just for everyone out there that is doing contouring and putting on layer and layer and layer of makeup. Every single one of those ladies needs to thank the drag queens, because that's where that came from. But what was surprising in this movie was that Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes weren't doing really that much contouring. They probably could have done some more.
Gotcha. Yeah. What about Leguizamo?
He starts out as a boy in a dress, and then he becomes a drag princess. And at the very end, we see him. He's finally become a full drag queen. His makeup through the movie sort of transforms as he grows. Mm. At the beginning, he's wearing a foundation that's way too pale for his skin tone, and not really doing the right type of eyeshadow. And in the middle, he starts to get the right type of eyeshadow, but still the wrong foundation. And then the very final scene, like, his makeup is just amazing. It's beautiful. Chi-Chi deserved to win drag queen.
Yeah, like Cinderella has come to life.
Yes.
Yeah, and then it all comes to a head, of course, our third act with the racist deputy sheriff, whatever you want to call him, you know, get to the town, and the abusive husband kind of tips off the sheriff of, oh yeah, these three strangers are in town, you know. And then we have this I Am Spartacus moment, you know, at the end, you know, like all the people like, I'm the drag. I'm the one you're looking for. Kind of like, I'm a drag queen too. I'm a drag queen. Everybody's like saying, I'm a drag queen. And drives off the sheriff and abusive husband at the end. And then, like, that's when our trio know that they're truly welcome and accepted in a small town. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is sweet. if that happened in a lot of rural countries in America, I mean, this country would be a better off. If everyone would just say, I'm the drag queen. That'd be nice.
So, our review levels are sit on the sofa and watch the movie. You'd rather clean the house and have it on in the background, do something else, or go outside and take on the crazies.
All right. So, okay, I know I'm watching this in the within the lens of the 90s and how I came out and I watched this and all that stuff. And I'm sure this movie would not translate well now because it would definitely have a backlash. So why you don't have actual drag queens playing the role of these people, you know, like it wouldn't have a really good reception. But what I really admire, especially with the movie, like it was, even though there's a straight actors being drag queen, right? The movie itself wasn't like mocking or making fun or being mean about like the culture of, you know, or being or a person like being proud of what they do, which is being a drag queen. And I think to me that kind of goes a long way. It's like if the intentions were to kind of highlight this scene or this culture in a positive way, then I think the movie, you know, did his job. I mean, and plus having all three of them in very interesting roles that I never thought I would see these actors be in was a kick. So yeah, I give it a sit down. It was fun. I got laughs. Of course, it's totally tropey. It's super like cheesy. It's super safe. It wasn't bold in no way, shape, or form. It wasn't trying to like provoke people. Like it was a super safe movie. And I recognize that. So yeah, with all of that, I give it a sit down.
Yeah, it's a sit down for me. I mean, I feel like the fact that yes, there were drag queens traveling across America, and that was part of the story. But again, it is a story of like embracing yourself and like not letting your surroundings bring you down and having fun with the girls.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And they did it in a respectable way. So that's why I give this movie, you know, it wasn't any cringy moments like far as like, oh, like they definitely didn't represent, you know, what they're trying to do. Right. Or anything like that. It was like they respected the culture.
I think if it was filmed today, you could get some of the drag queens from either RuPaul's show
or Pose, or
the ladies from Pose. Mm-hmm. It would be a very different type of story. It would be probably a little bit scarier.
Yeah.
It'd touch on more of the realities that when you travel to these small towns and you encounter ignorant people who aren't only in small towns, but that you can be putting your life in a lot of danger.
Exactly. Oh, and noteworthy, because this is so like family friendly and safe, is that the one of the production companies is Amblin Entertainment, which is Spielberg's production company.
The movie's PG-13.
Yeah. Like I said, that's why I was like, it's a super safe movie. Let's yeah. It's a family film, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So there you have it, guys. Too Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Julie Newmar definitely was one of the best Catwomen that we've had. Me personally.
She had a cameo at the end of the movie.
Yep. At the very, very end. Like, last shot was her. But I'm...
That's because she was invited to be on set, and at the last minute they asked her if she wanted to be in it, so...
Oh, nice. But me personally, Eartha Kitt is my Catwoman, but hey, Julie, she's definitely one of the best, you know, Catwomen. But, you know, Eartha is my Catwoman. But anyway, you can't go wrong with any of them. So definitely, it's you can rent, well, Amazon or something. Well, how you watch this movie?
Yeah, it is available to rent on Amazon and on iTunes.
Yes. So, Blast from the 90s past. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. You have fun. So, until next week, wish everyone safe physical distancing and
get your vaccines.
Yes. Peace.